The disciples said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." I want to say before I start what a joy it is to worship together and to be here in ministry with you. I am grateful for that. I thank you for your holy conversations in our cottage gatherings over the weekend. Thank you to our hosts and moderators and those who dared to gather. Thank you for your prayerful discernment of your sacred offering to Christ's ministry and mission, to which we are called here at Christ Church Cathedral. Thank you for believing me when I tell you that these conversations were not at all meant to coerce or send a message of any kind other than that we are a community of God, and sitting with one another to discuss godly things is a gift. The conversations themselves are what is most significant to me, for from them comes the continued building of our connection, our faith, and our deep care for one another's journey and the journey that we share in Christ's name. So thank you for taking that time. Thank you to our stewardship witnesses through the last few weeks. I'm grateful to each one of you for sharing your pledge journey and how God is working in your life. Thank you each for your pledge to Christ's work and ministry in this place and beyond us. Your sacrificial offerings are deeply appreciated. I thank Tom Manch, Stewardship Chair, and the Stewardship Committee for their faithful labor to bring important information to all of us for our prayerful discernment, for updating and tweaking our pledge cards, preparing mailings, and for our receptions this morning following both services. Thank you. Thank you to our staff, paid and volunteer, for printing and preparing all the materials. Thank you to chapter members who pledged together, increasing again this year. Thank you to our stewardship committee members who pledged last week. I am most grateful for the faithful leadership of our leaders. What I've been pondering deeply of late, really I've been pondering this for 35 years as a priest, is my strong desire to help those I love deeply, all of you, and the people of God that God has joined me with in ministry across the years, to come to know Jesus Christ in such a way that we can let go of so much of the anxiety that we live with daily, and trust Jesus, trust God, trust to sustain our life in our spirit. This anxiety is carried even more deeply in times of disagreement and challenge. This last decade is the first time in over 60 years that giving is down in churches and communities of faith in the United States across the board. Giving to God's ministry has stayed a priority even in destitute times until the last decade or so. When we begin to lose our faith in the source of our light and hope to sustain us, we are in trouble. And so is the world we are a part of. There have been other desperate times in our life as a society that have predicted the failure of churches and faith communities. But suddenly now we hear more and more often of churches closing and membership waning year upon year. As clergy, we have been told that in perhaps 15 to 20 years, very few, if any, churches or faith communities will have full-time clergy. For the last decade, we have been told that clergy need to be looking at bivocational ministries. Just supporting the upkeep of these old buildings is putting many a church under. And so there is fear. But where is the trust in God to provide? In the face of all this, I still believe to the core of my being that generosity in giving opens our lives to light and hope we have never known before. I see it every day, I've seen the joy that giving brings, and it is contagious. But it is sure hard to convince someone whose anxiety and stress about life, and particularly financial resources, is high, that giving from their heart and giving to God first, before the mortgage or the car payment or the doctor or the you name it, is going to open places within you that are astounding. Giving to our church, our faith community, is not so much about generous hearts as it is about faith. A faith that sees God's abundance, that sees God's abundant love, and is touched deeply by that abundance and responds with abundant offerings to that God so that others might be touched by that same love. When I see the anxiety that many of us carry about worldly possessions and financial security, I know that we have not been given a vision of what enough is and where God is at the center of all of that. For 199 years, the people of God who were and are Christ Church and then Christ Church Cathedral met the challenges that many thought at times would be their demise. And here it is our turn to trust God to provide for each one of us and through us to provide for others. When faith and trust are planted within God's people, in us, we can do more than we ever thought possible. For in God, all things are possible. Henri Nouwen was a Dutch Catholic priest, professor, writer, theologian. Among many books and writings, he wrote a wonderful little book entitled A Spirituality of Fundraising that has captured me for many years. He writes, "From the perspective of the gospel, fundraising is first and foremost a form of ministry. It is a way of announcing our vision and inviting people into our mission. Vision and mission are so central to the life of God's people that without vision we perish, and without mission we lose our way. Fundraising is precisely the opposite of begging. When we seek to raise funds, we are not saying, 'Please, could you help us out because lately it's been hard?' Rather, we are declaring we have a vision from God that is amazing and exciting. We are inviting you to invest yourself through the resources God has given you, your energy, your prayers, your presence, your money, in this work to which God has called us. Fundraising is also a call to conversion. Whether we're asking for money or giving money or both, we are drawn together by God, who is about to do a marvelous thing through our collaboration. To be converted means to experience a deep shift in how we see and think and act. It is a shift of attention in which we set our mind on divine things. Fundraising, from the point of view of the gospel, says to people, 'I will take your money and invest it in this vision that God has given us, and only if it is good for your spiritual journey, only if it is good for your spiritual health.' In other words, we are being called to an experience of conversion which says, 'You won't become poorer by your giving. You will become richer by your giving.' When we give to this shared vision and mission, we see a central sign of new life in the Spirit of Christ. We belong together in our work because Jesus has brought us together, and our fruitfulness depends on staying connected to Him. With Him, we can do anything because we know that God surrounds us with an abundance of blessings. And so when we give in love, we meet on the common ground of God's love. And when this happens, we can indeed say what with Paul, there is a new creation. And with Jesus and God, all things are possible. Where there is a new creation in Christ, there the kingdom of God is made manifest, not only here among us, but to the whole world. Don't you think they need that right now? And what is this kingdom that is worthy of our sacrifices? The kingdom is where God provides for all that we need. It is the realm of sufficiency, where we are no longer pulled here and there by anxiety about whether or not we have enough. So do not worry about tomorrow, says Matthew. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Jesus also compares the kingdom to a mustard seed, which at the time of its sowing is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet once it is sown, it grows into the biggest shrub of them all. Even a seemingly small act of generosity can grow into something far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. The creation of a community of love in this world and beyond this world. So when we give ourselves to planting and nurturing love here on earth, our efforts reach out beyond our chronological existence. Indeed, if we gather sacred offerings for the creation of a community of formation, care, hope, and love, we are helping God build the kingdom. And how do we become people whose security, whose base is God and God alone? How can we stand confidently with rich and poor alike on the common ground of God's love? How can we talk to each other about money without pleading and begging and call people to a new communion without coercing? How can we express to one another the joy and vitality and promise of our mission and vision? In short, how do we move from anxiety about money and then perceiving stewardship and fundraising as an unpleasant but unavoidable activity to a life-giving, hope-filled expression of ministry? Prayer is the spiritual discipline through which our mind and heart are converted from hostility or suspicion to hospitality and gratitude. When we feel gratitude, it is a sign that our conversion is spreading into our life and eventually will overwhelm our anxiety and fear and bring us a new heart in Christ. Prayer is radical because it uncovers the deepest roots of our being in God. In prayer, we seek God's voice and allow God's word to penetrate our fear and resistance so that we can begin to hear what God wants us to know. And what God wants us to know is that before we think or do or accomplish anything, before we have much money or little money, the deepest truth of our humanity is this: you are my beloved. My beloved son, my beloved daughter, every one of you, and with you, I am well pleased. When we claim this truth as true for us, then we also see that it is true for everyone else. God is well pleased with us, and so we are free to be with people in the freedom of God's love. As our prayer deepens into a constant awareness of God's goodness, the spirit of gratitude grows within us. Gratitude flows from the recognition that who we are and what we have are gifts to be received and shared. Gratitude releases us from the bonds of obligation and prepares us to offer ourselves freely and fully for the work of the kingdom. Gratitude sees our lives as abundantly blessed, and our anxiety is released. And that space within, that anxiety filled, is now laid open for even more of God's love to lift us and bring us release and hope. The disciples said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." My dear friends, this is the vision of hope that God has brought among us, allowing us to find God among us and within us, to release our anxiety and let the kingdom come, first within us, and then all around us, trusting the infinite possibilities of God's love for us all. Amen.